God, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, I love sports, and I, you know, it's great to see people getting crazy about their teams, but man, that is like our big chant. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above, right? With wisdom, power, and might, our God is an awesome God. Well, welcome. My name is Ian. If this is your first time, we would like to warmly, warmly welcome you. We love community here at CIT, and we hope that you've been warmly welcomed this morning. We are in we're in the book of Psalms, and we've been in this for this is our 16th message on Psalms, and we're going to start to look. Actually, we're going to take a big chunk this morning. We're not going to cover them all, but we're going to cover something called the enthronement Psalms, and there's a very particular message that we want to kind of mine out this morning. So I'm going to ask Josh to come up. Some of you know Josh Robinson. I don't know why he gave me this picture. He's going to explain it, I'm sure. But...
I just figured you can see my face, so you don't need to see another picture of me on the screen. My glory days, so back when I was much cuter. So, I'm Josh. I've been at Church in Toronto for like 8-9 years now. Started coming in grade 9. So I guess the story behind this is I was playing badminton with some friends outside, and this girl comes walking down the street, and my friend knows this girl. Her name is Ruby, and she kind of just starts hanging out with us week by week, day by day. We're just like doing kid stuff, playing badminton, going to the park. One day, we're in my backyard, just like hanging around, and she starts talking about church. She starts talking about the youth group she goes to, starts talking about the people she meets there, and talking about Jesus. And I'm kind of like, okay, I don't really know anything about this. Like, God is interesting to me, but I don't really know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So she invites me to the youth group. Mm-hmm. So I go to the youth group. I meet Ian. They are going through the New Testament over the summer with the boys. And he invites me to join them. So I go to Walmart and buy a Bible. Unfortunately, it's King James, and I don't know how to read it. But I eventually get like an NIV. I understand it. I'm just kind of reading through it. But this church is kind of far. The church is kind of far from my home. So I started going to a church closer to my home with a friend I've known since grade 1. And they had just gotten a relatively new youth pastor. And so a lot of what he was teaching was very... foundational. And it was really good for someone who's just trying to figure out what, like, the Bible's all about, who God is. Mm-hmm. So the timing of all this is very opportune. God is really using this time and these situations to let me know who he is. So this kind of goes on for a year. And eventually, I'm in high school with Ruby again. And she's like, you should come to the youth group again. It's like, okay, like, I'll come visit one time. And I walk in the doors. And Ian remembers my name. It's been like half a year, and he remembers who I am. So I was like, oh, like, who is this guy? Like, how does he remember my name? I don't remember his name. So this one week, this is right around the time Lead Uganda was happening. So they were raising funds to support, I guess, people in Uganda. Mm-hmm. And Ian asked me, do you want to volunteer? I was like, oh, you know, I need hours for high school, so I'll volunteer. And that one week turned into 2 weeks, turned into 3 weeks. I'm still at the youth group now, serving them. So it turned into 8 years of being with the youth group. Mm-hmm. So over this time, just kind of coming to youth group, kind of learning. Mm-hmm. And then this conference in the States comes up called Mountaintop. And everyone is going. And I'm kind of like, oh, if the whole youth group's going, I guess I'll go too. So I get on a bus and I go to the States to this conference. And I'm sitting among all these like young people who... are singing praises to God, who are worshiping God, and I'm kind of like, I don't know what's going on here. Like, why are all these people worshiping? What's happening? What are they experiencing? And I went back to my room that night, and I asked God, I'm like, if you're real, like, I want to know. I want to experience what these people are experiencing. Yeah. And the next day, we go into the message, and there's a speaker, John Chow, some of you may know him. He was giving a message basically called No More Excuses. And it just really pierced me. It was like he was speaking to me. Like, all these excuses you make up to not believe in God. All these excuses you make up to say that God isn't real. Maybe he doesn't exist. And in that moment, God was saying, like, Josh, like, I'm here. I'm real. And that was the moment I believed that God was real, that Jesus died, that he forgave my sins on the cross. Yeah. And so I guess, yeah, that's kind of the story of how I came to know Christ and how I ended up here. Mm-hmm. And now I serve the youth week by week. And
amen.
Those boys are crazy, but mm-hmm. I love being with them. So I guess I'll read Psalm 95 mm-hmm. and 100 now. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise for the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Mm-hmm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Josh is just one of those people who's at our youth group, and I don't think we could quite do it without him. He's just really indispensable. Thanks, Josh. Listen, we're as I say, we're in the enthronement psalm. So this is like 93 to 99. Some people would also include 100. We'll get back to 100 in a second. But, you know, I just wanted to, before we hit the enthronement psalms, I wanted to share with you, remind you of where we are. We're in book 4 now of Psalms, and I want to show you what happened at the end of book 3, because we're in full crisis mode at the end of book 3. So let me just read these verses for you. Psalm 89, it goes this way. But now you have cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. The anointed in these verses is speaking about the king. So when you see that kind of word, just know. So something has gone wrong. God, you have renounced the covenant. Wow, that's massive for Israel. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. This does not sound good. Like I said, we are in full crisis mode. 43. You have also turned back the edge of his sword, and you have not made him stand in battle. You have made him his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? In verse 49, Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? And so what we've got here at the end of book 3 of the Psalms is Israel is filled with despair, filled with all kinds of doubt, questioning what is going on. Think about what has happened. They have lost their land. They have lost their temple. They've lost their king. They've lost this covenant. They've lost everything. They are in devastation mode. But know this, God always has a way, despite how things look. Amen? God always has a way despite how things look. And so Nigel shared with us last week about the beginning of book 4. And it's so significant that it begins with a prayer of Moses. Moses did an amazing work in, you know, right? Think about the Pentateuch and all the things that Moses did and helped Israel come forward and have a new beginning. And it's significant that book 4 begins with a prayer of Moses. We need a new beginning. And in fact, Israel needed a re-evaluation of things. If the things that they were clinging to, if the things that they held so dear, if the things that God had actually given to them were now all tossed aside, now what? Now what? And so this is the beauty of what you start to see in book 4. Psalm 90 says, God, you have been our home forever. When you have no home, who is your home? God is your home. Later on in these same Psalms, he's talking about, yes, the temple is gone, but we have a heavenly temple. It even says, you know, yes, the land is now gone, but God promises Israel, I will never forsake my inheritance. Never. But that leaves us with one thing left. What about the king? They have no king. What are they going to do? This is a people who cried out to God for a king at one point in time. They have no king. Today's message is entitled, The Lord Reigns. The Lord Reigns. You want to know who the king is? The Lord is the king. Yeah, you have no earthly man who you can follow, but you're following the Lord. That has got to be your focus. And so why are we entitling this message, The Lord Reigns? Because a number of psalms in this grouping, 93 to 99, they start with this phrase, the Lord reigns, over and over again. And you can see it in Psalm 93 and in Psalm 97 and Psalm 99. Go and have a look at them. This phrase continues to resound, the Lord reigns. So the Lord is king. And I want to assure you, you know, his reigning, it's not just this passive thing. You know, it's not like I wind up a toy and I just let it go and it runs its courses. That's not the way that God operates. That's not the way that God reigns. God is ruling and reigning. He is involved in a very active way in the universe. So this thought of the Lord reigning is just amplified in this section of Psalms. James Mays says this. Here's a quick quote for you. It says, the Lord reigns, that phrase, the Lord reigns is the root metaphor in the book of Psalms. The Lord reigns. So think about all the things we've gone through, all the laments and all the things and all the triumphs and everything else. And the Lord reigns. You may think it's you. You may think it's a man. You may think it's your leader. You may think it's the circumstances. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. So it's fairly easy this morning to say the Lord reigns in the good times, right? When things are going well, my wife and I, some of you know, we were in Maui a little while ago. My goodness, that's just a good life. We were sitting there on the beach. Do you know this? It rained every day we were in Maui. I know you don't feel bad for me at all, and that's totally fine. Every single day it rained in Maui. But let me explain to you the way the rain works there. You're sitting in the beach, it's 30 degrees, and all of a sudden there's this little sprinkling of something. You're thinking, what is that? That's the rain. So I know you really don't feel bad for me. But, you know, so when you're in situations that are, you know, all good, everything's working fine, according to your expectations, it's really easy to say the Lord reigns, isn't it? Because everything's going according to plan. But the real test really comes in times of adversity, right? Isn't it at those times that we're questioning whether the Lord reigns? Isn't it at that time we're really wondering, is he really reigning? Is he really king? Does he really know what he's doing? I think I need to take the reins, different reins, but I need to take control. And that's often where we find ourselves. 1 week ago today, there was a tragedy in the United States. A lone gunman walked into a small church and shot and killed 26 people. And you know, when we think about things like this, and I was asked this question by one of our young brothers. He said, you know, Ian, like, what's going on here? Like, how could God allow such a thing to happen? Great question. Really, really good question. And, you know, it's in times like this when we see stuff, we're thinking, God, where are you? Are you raining? Or is it just raining when it's convenient for you? Why didn't you stop the man? Why didn't you do something? You know, to say the Lord reigns is not a cheap thing. It's not just like, oh, you know, if you're going through a really, really hard time, that's not the thing that somebody says to you when they're not going through a hard time. You know, it's not like, oh, it's just like a little saying, oh, the Lord reigns, don't worry, the Lord reigns. That's not going to help these people. That's not going to help the people who are hurting. But there's a definite reality in this universe, regardless of what is going on, we've got to know this. The Lord reigns. Israel learned this lesson. In spite of all that they had lost, the Lord reigns. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says this, when we cannot trace God's hand, we are simply to trust his heart. Does the Lord reign in bad situations? He does. Does the Lord reign in good situations? Yes, he does. The Lord reigns. Do we understand what's going on? No, we don't. And so many of us in this room, we know we've gone through difficult things, and we think at the time, this doesn't make sense, and give it some time, and things become clearer. And you realize God reigns. I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias yesterday, and he was giving this story about a man who lived on a farm, and his horse ran away. And his neighbor said to him, boy, that's bad luck, isn't it? And the next day, his horse came back with 20 other horses. And his neighbor said, whoa, that's great luck, isn't it? And then a few days later, his son was working with this horse that had run away, and the horse kicked him and broke his leg. And the neighbor came along and said, whoa, that's really bad luck, isn't it? And a few days later, a bunch of thugs came through their village and were looking for young men to join them in their rampage all over that area. And they saw the son who had his leg broken, and they said, we better move on. Interesting, the Lord reigns in the good and in the bad. The Lord is the one who is reigning. So for us, we look at it and we think, oh, the Lord can't possibly be reigning. Wait. Have an assurance in your heart. Simply trust his heart. Actually, when things like this happen, oftentimes the test that we go through is, do you trust who God says he is? Psalm 93 says, Lord, the Lord reigns. And that whole psalm talks about his eternality. In other words, he's always been the Lord, and he always will be the Lord. Psalm 97 says, the Lord reigns, but it talks about him being righteous. About him being holy. And then Psalm 99 talks about him being righteous. Brothers and sisters, you have to realize our God is an awesome God. He reigns. He reigns from heaven above, and we may not understand it. But just know that your Lord is reigning. Amen? Let me come to these Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 95 and 96. Because I think there's something really marvelous that we're going to see here. So, Regina, if you could bring up 95 for me again. Let me just read through this. Go to the verses. Just go back to the original verses for me. Thank you so much. Isn't this great? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And you'll notice that there's an invitation, and it's let us. The us here is Israel. This is God's people. And the invitation is, come on, let's worship. Now, you know, again, this is challenging. I've lost my land. We've lost our land. We've lost our temple. We've lost our covenant. We've lost the ark of the covenant. We've lost everything. We've lost our king. And you're telling me we should now come and worship? If the Lord reigns, the answer is yes. Because you trust in your Lord. So this is Israel being encouraged. Come on, let's come into his presence. Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great king. That is the psalmist saying, the Lord reigns above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. Let's keep going. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And this verse in particular, for he is our God. Amen. He is our God. Oh, what a great thing to be saying when devastation is all around you. He is my God. Can you say that? Oh, I hope you're not just saying it because I asked you to say it. But I hope you have a deep, deep sense. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what comes in my life, he is my God. And look at this. And we are the people, this is again Israel, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And that thought of the sheep of his hand just means the sheep that are under his care. That's Israel talking about themselves and encouraging them. Of course, they're being encouraged to come into the Lord's presence. You know, we know that things had not changed for Israel. They were not all of a sudden transported back into their land, or and the temple was restored the way it was originally, and they had their king. No, those things didn't happen. And yet they are saying, the Lord reigns. And I believe there's a really profound experience for us to consider this morning. Do you know when life is difficult, you have an amazing opportunity to testify to the Lord being your king. Amen. And usually we don't like to think this way, right? Because we usually think, oh, I'll testify of God when things are really going well, because that will really, you know, oh, I got a new car. Isn't God great? And your coworkers are like, man, you are so lucky, right? I want to follow your God. They don't really say that, but anyway. But you know, that's our thought. But the profound thought in these verses is no, it's fine. You want to give God the praise during those times? Can you give God the praise when there's devastation all around? Oh, that's a test. And that is what is going on in these Psalms. Come, let us worship the Lord for being the Lord. Let me tell you, But I guess the tricky thing is how you respond, right? That's the telling thing. How do you respond when things go wrong? Can you respond in a way where you say and you testify? It doesn't mean you use your words. It's just the way that you're carrying yourself could be your words as well. But that way that you carry yourself says, the Lord reigns. I got something rock solid in my life. How many of you remember in 2010 the Chilean miner disaster? You remember that thing? Yeah. Very, very interesting story. I highly recommend it. It's a short read. This is, I hope I can pronounce his name correctly, Jose Enrique. Sorry for any of those who are Spanish speaking in the room if I butchered that. I don't think I did, but he was one of 33 Chilean miners or workers that were down in the mine, 2,300 feet below surface. All of a sudden, Whatever happened, happened, and they are trapped. They're in this little area called a refuge. You know, of course, there's a lot of chaos in the very beginning, and eventually the dust settles, and they realize this is not good. And this brother begins to hold prayer meetings. Every day at 12 o'clock, they had prayer meetings. And more of these miners came and joined them, and they started to pray. And you know what they were praying? Lord, you reign. Lord, this man in particular, Jose, he said in his heart he knew God was going to get him out. How? I don't know. I'm not sure what I would do in that situation. But this brother, he was there and he said, the Lord is going to get us out. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Well, they were in that mine for 69 days. I think on the 69th day, they were all brought out. Or maybe in a couple of days, it went over. But what was very, very interesting is a number of them wanted to testify that the Lord reigned while they were down 2,300 feet underground. And so I'll show you a picture. This is of one of them. Again, my Spanish is terrible, but I'm pretty sure it says, Gracias, Señor. And that means, thank you, Lord. But you know what's interesting? On the back of that t-shirt, one of the verses we have from this morning to show the Lord reigns, in his hands are the depths of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Brothers and sisters, friends, it is possible when you are in a devastating no way out, I don't see how this is going to work out. It is possible if the Lord is the Lord of your heart to say these kinds of things. And that testifies to the people who are around you. A number of, I forget what the actual number is, maybe Nigel, you can remind me, the number that got saved in that mine. Because they realize the Lord reigns even there, even in the depths of the earth. His hand is there. Isn't that wonderful? When things don't go well, we can testify that the Lord is the one who is reigning. When your health is not going well, when family issues are on the rise, the Lord reigns, still reigns. Still reigns. When financial troubles are coming, when you're having issues with your teenagers. Wow, nobody. That's amazing. Josh, we are doing such a good job in our youth group. This is incredible. This place should be packed. When you're having issues, let it be known that the Lord reigns. I got to move quickly, but I think I can do it. Let me. How many of you remember the book of Acts? Remember the birthing of the New Testament church? And did they have a wonderful time at the very beginning? They sure did. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 people got saved. Yes. A few days later, Peter preached and 5,000 people got saved. Is that would you like to be a part of that? Yeah, I'd be like, whoo, I like to see CIT going through something like that. That'd be great. We have to do some renovations here and stuff, but that's okay. Okay, and so, you know, sometimes we think, okay, it just continued on that same way. Well, the Lord was reigning on the day of Pentecost, and the Lord was reigning a short while later when all those people were getting saved. And you know what happened? They started getting persecuted. And in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7, you meet this person named Stephen who was full of the Holy Spirit, and he stood up and he testified about how wrong the Jewish people were and how Christ was the answer, and he was stoned to death. We believe he was the first martyr after Christ resurrected. How many want to sign up for that? But you know what? The Lord reigns. Because you know what happened after that? The church was under this massive persecution, specifically from a man named Saul. And they were scattered all over the place. I got a little bit of a map. So we might think, oh no, the church is dead. What God is doing is over. But you know what? The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Yes, some people lost their lives. But the Lord reigns. And please don't think that I'm just downplaying, oh, a couple of people, you know, lost. No, that matters to God. That's valuable to God. Every single person matters to God. But some people died. Some people were thrown in prison. Some people were tortured. But look at what happened to the Christian message. It just began to flourish all over that area of the earth. Does the Lord reign? The Lord reigns not only in the day of Pentecost, in the good times. The Lord also reigns in times like this when it is devastating. Well, let me finish off by reading to you because something marvelous happens. We saw Psalm 95 is focused entirely on Israel, and it's saying, come, let us worship. The Lord is our King. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. That's the... Oh my goodness, that's so embarrassing. Funny. I should answer it, right? No, I better not. Let's look. Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm giving a message right now. What would you like? Okay, so let's go to Psalm 96. Because something so precious happens here. The psalm opens up, oh, sing to the Lord, a new song. And of course, we would expect that this is still speaking to Israel, and it is. Oh, sing to the Lord, a new song. Sing to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. We've changed. We have changed. Now it's no longer just focused on Israel, but God says the whole earth should be praising me. The whole earth should be worshiping me. Look at this in verse 2. Now this is like a charge to Israel. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. In your devastation, Israel, in your loss, Israel, tell of his salvation from day to day. Why? Because the Lord reigns. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous ways, or his marvelous works among all the peoples. Let's keep going. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, for he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So that's a word specifically to God's people, to Israel. But strikingly, in verse 7, things change again. Look at this. Ascribe, which just means give, bring. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. This is not just talking to Israel. This is an invitation for all the earth, for all the peoples of the earth, from the devastation that Israel had gone through. God's plan never changed. In Genesis 12, verse 3, he said, I want you, Abraham, to bless all the families on the earth. And Israel failed, and God never gave up on that plan. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And then the Gentiles, the nations, the people who are far away from God, they are being encouraged. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. And what's beautiful here is we know the temple is destroyed, so they can't. This is not talking about bulls and goats and things like that. This is talking about a thank offering. Bring your thanks. Bring your thanks to God. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him again, all the earth. And of course, this goes, verse 10 goes back to Israel saying, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And then, look at this. It's not just Israel who's affected. It's not just the nations who are affected. When we look at verse 11, even creation is affected. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar. All that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Have you seen that yet? It's coming. The Lord reigns. before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, what started with Israel through the devastation because of their recognizing that the Lord reigns, now people are being affected. Amen? Even the whole creation is being affected. And I want to leave you with Psalm 100, because that's where these psalms end. Psalm 100, I'm specifically focusing in on verse 3. There we go. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into... Oh, sorry. Look at the way it starts again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Everyone. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And this is so striking. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. And look at this. We. This is not just Israel. This we here includes all people. Isn't that great? We started in Psalm 95, verse 3, and it basically said, Israel, we are his people. God is ours, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And by Psalm 100, as the Lord reigns, now everybody can say, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What a picture. What an amazing picture to see. The Lord, when the Lord reigns in our hearts, not just on our tongues, when the Lord reigns in our hearts, people are affected. Are you willing for that? I hope you could spend the time to, you know, consider before the Lord, Lord, who reigns in my heart? Who is on the throne in my heart? May the Lord be there. May the Lord be reigning in your heart. Let me just pray. God, we just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the word you've spoken to us this morning. God, so many of us in this room have been through very difficult situations, and we know that there may be more ahead. There probably will be more ahead. God, we pray. We pray that your reigning would be on our tongues. Your reigning would be in the way we conduct ourselves. God, we love you, and we're praying for something profound to happen in each one of our hearts. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this word. Amen.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to take this out, Nate, so it's going to make some noise. Okay. Hi, so my name's Josh. I'm one of the volunteer leaders here at CIT. So just wanted to give you a brief overview from some ways to give that you can give at church. Excuse me. So we want to make giving as easy as possible. Traditionally, we only had one way to give at church. And over the last couple years, we've introduced a few new ways. And there's two new ways today that we're introducing that we just wanted to tell you about. So the first way is a traditional way. It's the giving box. It's how most people traditionally would give at church. You would write a check or bring some cash, put it in an envelope, and then put it in the giving box out back. You can still do that if you like, but there are some new fancy technology ways to give as well. So one is online. If you go to churchintoronto.com/give, there's two ways that you can give through there. One is a credit card. You can do a credit card donation. Really simple process to go through. And one of the things you can do with credit card donations is make them recurring, which is nice, so you don't have to remember every month to put your donation in. The other thing that you can do online now that Steve helped us just implement is e-transfers. So I don't know if you've ever done it before. You can send email money transfers to friends. Now you can send email money transfers directly to the church. This is a great way to do it. All the instructions are online for you to go and do email money transfers. And we recommend this for long-term members or people who have been donating at church for sort of a long time. This is a great way to do it. One of the things that it does is it helps the church save in some of the processing fees of credit cards. So that's one really good way to give. And the last way to give, we've added this for all the youth because the youth only know how to communicate through text. So now it's really, really easy to give this way. It's text to give. You basically send an amount. So let's say $25 for as an example to the number on screen there, which is 84321. And then all the instructions will come up on your phone to set up Text to Give. And actually, what we're going to do is we're going to roll a really quick video that's just going to show you how Text to Give works.
Hey there, Justin here, and I wanted to show you one of the easiest ways for you to give to your church. All you got to do, send a text message. Here, I'll show you how I set it up. All I need to do is text an amount to 84321, and a link will be sent back to me. I'll tap on that link, select my church, add an email address for the receipt, enter in my payment information, and that's it. From now on, when I want to give, I just grab my phone and text an amount. All right, let's donate $10 now. And that's it. Oh, I added an extra zero. Yeah, I'm going to need to fix that. Luckily, I can. Since it's been less than 30 minutes, I just send the word refund and that last donation will be refunded. Whew. I'm going to try it again. And there we go. And that, my friends, is how you can give with a text message. Happy giving.
Awesome. Yep. So, like I mentioned, if we can flip back to the slide. So three ways to give, two new ways, e-transfers and text to give. We just want to make giving as easy as possible for you. And we hope these, all three ways will help, help you give at church and just, yeah, make it really easy. And that's it for me. My dad's going to come back up just to close us out.
Thank you for coming this morning. This was good to have you. If you're here, you're new, you want to get connected more, there are home groups. Like, this is not the end for us, so get connected with home groups. There's a green card out there on the table, and if you want to figure out where to go, there's numbers, all kinds of things on there. Okay? So we will see you all next week.